In your hymnals, page 860, please join us with I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me. We'll be doing three verses, and then the first verse twice, again.
Got it.
And really show these people over here that we can really sing, right? Here we go.
Unusual for this church.
They're Lutherans.
They're Lutherans. Good morning and welcome. Nice to have you all here. Today, me too. Yeah. Today, our lesson has to do with James and John, two brothers. They were jockeying for position in heaven. And they were asking Jesus if they could have the best seats. And that started me thinking about how we like the best seats, huh? Some of you have flown, and you want, well, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You and I don't have a problem like that because we're small. You have a problem. We want the best seats at the sporting events. We want the best seats at the concerts. We want the best seats. And we will jockey for position. And we've got the election coming up. People are jockeying for position. We got the World Series going on. People want to be world champions, be number one. And Jesus says, he who is greatest of all is going to be servant of all. He said, you want to be number one, you be the number one in servanthood. And that's where you're going to find life. And that's whole totally different than what than the way we live our lives. So we're going to be focusing some thoughts on that today. Who's number one? Today when Percy Harvin jumps around in the end zone raising his finger, or is he going to do the Tebow? We'll see. Okay? Watch. By the way, thank you for coming and playing. A pastor and his partner, a retired pastor playing, coming from the cities.
Yep.
Which church do you attend down there? Okay. So you're down in Belle Plaine now?
Plaine.
Yeah. Pastor Mark Johnson?
Yes.
Markusian is his name.
Markusian,
you can call him, okay?
Yeah.
And he'll know. I'm the only one in the world who calls him that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The amazing Markusian. Okay. Yeah, greet the folks from St. John's for us when you go back. And thank you so much. I told them when I was talking with Diane on the phone that The last 2 years we've tried to get polka people, and they passed away before they got here. She says, so you're the one. That didn't happen. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, it's nice to have you here. In order to help offset their expenses coming up and provide music and so on, there's a free will offering basket in the back, and if you could help that out, I know that would be very, very good. One other announcement I want to make. This week is a big week in the life of our church with the Holiday Bazaar coming up on Saturday. There's a bunch of sign-up sheets in the narthex. If you can help out anyway, please do. I notice all the different churches are having their lutefisk and lefse. All that holy food, they're horning in on ours, but we've got the amazing turkey buns.
Yes.
So come and work and shop and help and have a turkey bun, and then you can go and eat all the lutefisk you want at a number of churches, okay, in all directions. So please join in that opportunity. One last note, I've got to make this. Our whole attitude, those of you who worship with us and our members here know, it's not about making money at the bazaar or at the corn feeder or at anything else. It's about bringing people together and serving and rubbing elbows with each other. And it's about the lonesome widower who comes in and sits and have a turkey bun and sits all afternoon and visits. It's about community building. Bottom line isn't to be number one in making the money. It's about number one in having fellowship. So invite your family, invite your friends, come and have a good time. Help with everybody else in this congregation. And I know God will smile upon us. So keep that in mind. We've gathered to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful music this morning, polka music. Give us hearts that will dance before your throne. Thank you for the joy and the love that you share with us. And we especially pray that it might grow in us this morning as we say our prayers and sing these wonderful hymns. Send your spirit now, Lord, as we gather around your holy table. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Gathering hymn. Stand up for Jesus. Let's rise. turn to page 4. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We have come to worship in spirit and truth.
God is with us. God is.
We have come to share the good news. We have come to confirm the active presence of the Spirit of God.
God is at work among and within our world and the next, in us and those around us, to make all things new.
Let's join in our hymn of praise, Worthy is Christ. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples of the earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Our next hymn is hymn 742, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you.
is from Hebrews 5, 1 through 10. Using imagery from Scripture and from Jewish worship practices, Jesus is presented as the great high priest who was obedient to God's saving plan. Through his suffering and death, he has become the source of eternal salvation. Every high priest chosen among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and to sacrifice for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. Having been designated by God a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, the word of the Lord.
Rise in honor of reading the Holy Gospel. Our Gospel this morning comes from the 10th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 35th verse. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be the servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Glory to you, O Lord." Please be seated as we sing together our public confession, "Just Because."
Wash us in the way, redeem us all the joy. shouts, redeem our mother just because. Just because we paid you so much price. Just because we played with love and love. Just because we ran out in our cars to get the runner's problems solved. Just because we are not consumers.
You're right, this congregation does smile, darling. Yeah. Harlow used to dance to that song, just because you think you're so pretty, just because you think you're so hot. Yeah, thank you. This is good. When I was a kid, there was a big race every summer at the Thompson Township Fair, a little place called Esco. At this Thompson Township Fair, one afternoon was set aside for all the families in the whole township. And all the families would come, and they'd have a big pile of sawdust and throw coins in there, and all the little kids would dig for coins. Then they'd have the races from grade 1 to grade 2 and grade 3 and all the rest. And then they'd have bicycle races for everybody. But the whole day, the whole afternoon of all these competitions culminated in the big race. And the fastest people in the whole township and from neighboring communities, some would come over and they would run a 100-yard dash on the football field. People who were in college would come back and run this. All the sports guys, the best football players and basketball players and track stars would run. One summer, my dream came true. I was too old for the little kids' races, okay? I was going into 10th grade. They were going to line up, and I thought, well, I might as well run. I thought, I think I run faster without my shoes. So I took my shoes off, and the gun went off, and I ran. And guys like Dave Doble and Steiny Johnson and Billy Maunu and those fast guys, those sports heroes, when we finished, they were 3 or 4 yards behind me. And I won. I won the race, and I thought, holy smokes, that's not so bad. And the guy who ran the races was the football coach. The next fall, when I was in the 10th grade, he had me starting halfback. I always wondered about that, and years later I thought, oh, it was maybe because I was fast. Finlanders are a little slow, but... But I had this dream. I had this dream, and that dream came true. Every once in a while, dreams come true. In our lesson today, our gospel lesson, James and John had a dream. They had ambition, and Jesus called them. Do you know much about James and John? Jesus called them the sons of thunder. That wasn't because they were shrinking violets. I think they were never shrinking violets. They spoke their peace. They spoke their mind. There's an occasion told in the 9th chapter of St. Luke where Jesus sends the disciples onto a Samaritan village to prepare it for Jesus' coming. And the Samaritans find out that Jesus and his disciples are going to Jerusalem. And Samaritans didn't like Jews from Jerusalem, so they just kicked them out. So James and John come back to Jesus and say, should we just blast them out of the air, burn their whole town down? Jesus thinks, holy smokes, these guys are sons of thunder. James and John were among the closest of Jesus' friends. It was James and John and Peter who Jesus took the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus changed and he visited with Moses and with Elijah. It was James and John who were there when, the only disciples there when Jesus healed the daughter of the Jairus' daughter. It was James and John and Peter who Jesus invited up to the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was arrested. Maybe it was because of their status with James and with Jesus that caused them to be a little proud. You know, we're friends with Jesus. We work with him. We'll do anything with him. Can we have the right hand and the left hand when we go to glory? They want the best seats. They want the best seats, just like You guys got the best seats. Some people think the best seats are the back row. Get out and get coffee first. We should have, do you guys do this in your church? Have the ushers come down and take the front back? No. You got that cattle call, that stampede too. just thinking, sorry. James and John, they come and say, Jesus, can we have the best seats? One at your right and one at your left in glory. And Jesus, I'm sure he was a little disappointed, but he knew these guys. He knew they were faithful. He knew they were going to be solid and going to be there when he needed them. And he says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptized I'm baptized with? And they say, yeah, we can. And their answer was probably sincere. I mean, these guys were quality individuals. So when you talk about James and John, they're the sons of thunder. They're quite bold. And we don't know as much about James as we do about John, but we do know that after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, James was the first one that was a Christian martyr. He was arrested by Herod and had his head cut off. And John, he probably lived a full life. He was the one most people think that was the disciple who took care of Jesus' mother. And this shows confidence in this one who he called his beloved disciple. And that's probably why Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup that I drink. You will be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized in. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom it has been prepared. It's important to note that Jesus didn't chastise these guys for their ambition. These guys were misguided a bit, but he appreciated their drive. He appreciated their courage. He appreciated their strength. The rest of the disciples, they didn't appreciate it so much. They hear these guys jockeying for best positions, and so they get a little indignant with James and John, and Jesus uses this for a teaching moment. He says, come on, guys, let's gather around me. Let me tell you something. He says, you know that those who are regarded as the rulers of the Gentiles, they hold it over everybody else's head. They jockey for positions. But with you guys, that's not the way it's going to be. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you has to be servant of all. Whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served. I'm not here to be served. But I've come to serve and to give his life as a ransom for everybody. And that's the teaching moment that Jesus has. That's what he told the disciples, and that's what he's telling us today. We all want to be number one, don't we? We want it for ourselves, and for those of us who are our parents, we want it for our kids. And we can understand that. I mean, that's natural for us to climb to the top, to be the best. I want to be the best pastor this church ever had. We live in a competitive world. That's the nature of our society. That's the nature of our culture. We want to be number one. We want to be the best at what we do. They're not playing football games all weekend long just to get exercise. They want to be number one. Winning is important. Pride is important. Prestige is important. That reminds me of a story. Two archaeologists were discussing. One was an archaeology fellow in Rome, and the other one was in Egypt. And the Roman archaeologist says, oh, this society was great, 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 way more advanced than yours. In fact, we were digging in a place that was 6 centuries before Christ, and we found copper wires underneath some of the buildings there. And so that proves that they already had the telephone in the 6th century B.C. The guy from Egypt says, oh, that's nothing, he said. We were digging in a village about the same time, and under our buildings there were nothing. That means we were the first ones who were wireless. Countries want to be number one. Colleges want to be number one. Individual people want to be number one. It's one of the most natural tendencies of humankind. It's our natural instinct that God has given to us. Maybe you remember that song from the Broadway musical, Annie Get Your Gun. Bob and Lee Krieger sang it once at our jamboree. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. We want to be number one. We live in a competitive world. Companies compete. Colleges compete. Hospitals compete. Individuals compete. We turn all kinds of things into competitions. Jim Lang thinks his grandkids are the greatest grandkids in the world. And in his world, he's right. But Keith, you know that's not right. Yours are. And we do this back and forth. I'm just making a point. We live in a competitive world, and that's not all bad, because it makes us better people. It makes us strive for what's right and good and the best. The desire to get ahead, the desire to rise to the top, the desire to be number one has driven many people to live productive lives. We're a better world because we compete. Our society is based on a healthy level of competition. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, late Steve Jobs, were very, very competitive. That's why two of the greatest technology corporations in the world are what they are, because they competed. That's why we enjoy all the innovative products that we have. Many people have made major contributions to society, primarily because they were high-driving, ambitious people. Now, that being said, Dr. Rachel Raymond tells the story of a CEO of a highly successful company. The CEO had climbed over everybody. He had neglected his family, divorced twice, 5 kids. He got sick, came to the doctor. He says, I've wasted my life. But he had provided for the world. Huh? And he says, I don't know any of my kids anymore. I don't think they'd miss me when I die. I've left nothing behind me except lots and lots and lots of money. What an old fool I am. What an old stupid fool I am. Ironically, one of Dr. Eamon's patients was a woman named Stephanie, and she had received one of his inventions, and it had changed her life. She was pretty much an invalid, but when they fitted this device into her body, she got strong, she had gotten a job, she'd gotten married, she had children, and in fact, she'd been given another life. So Dr. Eamon asked Stephanie if she would write a letter to this CEO and tell him how much that invention had made her life better. She said, better than that, I'm going to invite him over for dinner. And she did. And when he came there, her husband, her kids, her cousins, her neighbors, there was a whole bunch of people were there. And as they sat down for dinner, they proceeded to tell this doctor how important Stephanie had become in their lives because of this invention. And they had changed her. And George, as he heard these stories, started crying, and he cried through most of them. And at the end, Stephanie came to George and put her arm around him and said, this is really a story about you, George. We thought you needed to know how you've helped me and how you've helped so many other people. George's life was a mixed bag. He admits that. He had made a lot of mistakes. You and I make a lot of mistakes. But in George's drive to reach the top of his company, he had also made a significant contribution to society and to lots of people's lives. God wouldn't strip us of our ambition. God won't do that. Blind ambition can be destructive. But ambition under God's control can be used in a powerful way. So Jesus says, if you really want to be number one, be number one serving God, serving your neighbor. Whoever wants to be great among you, says Jesus, you must be a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Because even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. One last note. We have lots of great servants in this congregation. Thank you to everybody who helped at yesterday's funeral. From Jan, who set up the kitchen, to all you who cooked and cleaned and parking lot folks. You did a wonderful job. And I'm very proud that this church has a servant heart. We have ambitious servants in this church. We also have achievement-oriented people, though they wouldn't call themselves that. The achievements that they make simply grow out of their willingness to serve. This weekend, when we put on this holiday bazaar, I hear throughout the year from people, not only from our community, but other communities, how nice to see people working together and laughing together and smiling and serving. And you know the profits that come from that go to help our neighbors who are hurting. This church makes the world a better place because you serve and you have servants' hearts. I like the way Bishop Fulton Sheen once put it. He said, "Our Lord was not a superstar, he was a super scar. He showed his disciples his feet and his the riven side, and he said to them, 'As the Father sent me, so I send you.'" Bottom line, Jesus wants us to be number one. He wants us to serve our community, to serve our world. Like no other church or like no other community service organization has ever served, he wants us to serve like that. And then we will look over our lives and our life of a church with no regrets, but only satisfaction, knowing we've done the best job possible. I think it was my friend Pastor Mark Johnson who once said, "Life is a lot like a game of tennis. Those who don't serve will end up losing." Yeah. And that's true. It's all right to be ambitious, but make your ambitions about the right things in life. Be number one in serving God. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in the petitions for the church. We'll ask the praise team to lead us in between each petition, saying, "Lord, listen to your children praying." Oh, what a fellowship. I missed one. I must want to get the coffee. 774. Let's turn to 774.
Spirit.
As disciples of Christ Jesus called to love and serve all people, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, who came as a servant of all, grant your church the vision to see your purpose, the strength to do your will, and the love to serve others in your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, listen to your children.
Lord, you are the guardian of the weak. Transform the powerful of the world into self-giving servants, that justice and mercy may prevail over tyranny and oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you are the refuge of the weary. Deliver those who are wounded, oppressed, sick, or suffering. We especially remember in our prayers Sandy Miller as she mourns the loss of her husband. Be with Elsa Carlson as she continues to be on the mend after surgery. And be with all those others who we name in our hearts before you. Answer the prayers of all who call upon you and uphold them in your loving hands. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Hear our prayers, faithful God, and renew us by your Spirit, that we may joyfully love and serve you and one another through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offerings.
Please rise and let us join together and let the vineyards be fruitful. In bread and wine.
God, we thank you for the bread of eternal life.
It is our duty and delight always and everywhere to give praise and thanks to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is living bread that came down from heaven. So with the church on earth, all creation, and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Established between us forever.
Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, they will live forever. And the bread which I give for the life of the world is my flesh.
Let's join together in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass
invites all of creation to taste and see that the Lord is good. Come to the table, taste the feast that brings life to the world. Please be seated.
Got another one you want to sing?
The post-communion, Pennsylvania polka. Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Please rise. Turn to the closing prayer on page 13. Holy God, you open the doors of heaven, giving us every generous and perfect gift from above. Lift our eyes from the food that perishes, and nourish us now with the food that endures for eternal life. Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
A closing hymn, The Happy Wanderer, He Lives.